Good morning, everyone, and I want to welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And thank you for joining. I know that my brother Jeff has put time into study to ask the Lord what it is that he should bring to us today. And so I ask each of you not only to pray for Jeff, but to say a silent prayer for yourselves as well, that you would hear the words that the Lord has to bring to us today to feed us, and that we would be able to receive that blessing that the Lord has in store for us. With that, I'll turn it over to you, Jeff.
Thank you, Benny, and good morning, everyone. I would appreciate your interest in prayers and your thoughts. I appreciate those prayers, and I appreciate your thoughts there. So this morning, I guess, excited to be here, happy to have the opportunity to be back with everyone. I know over the last several weeks, we've all had different travel schedules and attending reunion and camp and all of those times. And so I hope this is greeting everyone and back and safe at home and finding each of you doing well. I do want to start, and I'm thankful for the time that we had at reunion. I'm especially thankful for the time that we had at camp. I appreciate all of your prayers and your thoughts for camp. I thought we were truly blessed this year, and we had a great opportunity to spend that time with the youth of our church, and I am thankful for that time that we had. As we dive in here this week, I guess a lot of thoughts that I've had, and it is a thought around the Lord's plan, and that plan that He has for us, and that although sometimes we may not know that plan, we may not understand that plan, truly there is a plan, an ultimate plan of salvation for us. And so I want to start, and I'd ask you to turn with me to the second book of Nephi. And I'm going to start off, and I just want to read one verse in the second book of Nephi, but I'm going to ask you to keep your finger there, because we're going to go right and continue on in a few verses. But for me, in my Book of Mormon, this is on page 85, and I want to read the 103rd verse. And so this is 2 Nephi, the first chapter, and the 103rd verse. And because that he had fallen from heaven and had become miserable forever, he sought also the misery of all mankind. And so we don't have to think very hard of who that scripture is referring to. Clearly, we know that angel that fell from heaven was Satan and had become miserable forever, and he sought also the misery of all mankind. And as I thought about this verse, and I guess I had thought about this verse over the last couple of weeks, is that plan and clearly that plan and that desire of Satan as well that he has for us, and his desire is that we would have that same misery, that we would be miserable forever, and that he is seeking after us and seeking to destroy us. So continue on there in the 104th verse, and I want to go on 104th through the 109th verse there on page 85. Wherefore he saith unto Eve, and we know that this is Satan that is trying to tempt Eve here from the very beginning. Wherefore he saith unto Eve, yea, even that old serpent, which is the devil, which is the father of all lies, wherefore he saith, partake of the forbidden fruit, and ye shall not die, but ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And clearly we know, and clearly we can look around the world that we live in today, and we understand and we see that simple drawing away, that simple pull, that simple tug that is trying to pull us away, and no matter what we are seeking after, if it is not seeking after Christ, if it is not seeking after the will of the Lord, we know that tug will be there. And so it continues on, and I'm going to read that verse again because I want to continue on the 105th then. So back at the 104th, wherefore he saith unto Eve, yea, even that old serpent, which is the devil, which is the father of all lies. Wherefore he saith, partake of the forbidden fruit, and ye shall not die, but ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And after that, Adam and Eve had partaken of the forbidden fruit, they were driven out from the Garden of Eden to till the earth. And you know, so this plan of God and this plan that he has for us and that direction that he has for us is seen and is evidenced even here as we read about the story of Adam and Eve. Continue on the 106th verse. And they have brought forth children, yea, even the family of all the earth. And the days of the children of men were prolonged according to the will of God, that they might repent while in the flesh. Wherefore their state became a state of probation, and their time was lengthened according to the commandments which the Lord God gave unto the children of men. For he gave commandment that all men must repent. Right, so we understand, and we talk about the simple things of the of Christ and the simple understandings and the simple knowledge that we gain and that we have and that we live within our life, those simple truths that we can understand. And clearly, you know, that is evidence here in these verses. And this is my hope, that we carry these with us as we think about that plan, as we think about that direction. You know, the thought in my mind, and as I was reading these scriptures, you know, I look at the youth as they grow up, and I'm very thankful for the opportunity that we've had to kind of watch the progression of youth throughout the church and watch them grow from that little 12-year-old that shows up at camp one day to then going on and becoming a CIT and becoming a counselor. Is that growth and development and that understanding that lives can go so many directions, but we know and we understand, and it's simple to understand that if we follow after Christ, if we have that desire, if we have that eye on, you know, if we follow that commandment that all men must repent, you know, that is that calling that we have for us, and that is a part of that plan. Turn with me to Genesis, the second chapter, and I'm going to kind of continue on with this theme of Adam and Eve here a little bit. So Genesis, the second chapter, and I'm going to read just the 15th through 17th verse. So again, that's Genesis 2, 15 through 17. Starting at the 15th verse, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Right, so clearly, you know, that commandment and that direction, and you know, there's so many parallels in life that we can draw to that tree, that knowledge of that tree of knowledge, that understanding of good and evil. Right, and we understand that that action changed so many things throughout. We can trace that back. We can see that. We can understand that. But clearly in our own lives, although we sitting here today did not sit in the garden and did not have that choice, or we did not have that temptation that is sitting in front of us, there's no doubt there are temptations that are facing us. Turn with me to Genesis, the third chapter. And so probably for most of you right on that same page, third chapter, and I'm going to start at the first verse. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, both God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. And in that temptation that creeps in, and that drawing. So in this example, you know, we see this and we understand that challenge that we all face. We have that temptation in front of us. Now sometimes I can look at this, and hindsight being 20/20, I can easily look at this and say, all right, Eve, right? It's pretty simple to understand that what you're being told, what you're being tempted, is truly a temptation and is not the will of the Lord. And so then sometimes we look in our lives and we say, well, you know, those temptations that face me, Well, you know, they're not as clear, they're not as evident as this one, right? But is that really true? You know, they're not evident. I don't think that you know, if we were to see this unfold and see this example of Eve being tempted by the serpent, you know, we don't know how we would act. And we know in our lives, in those temptations that we face around us, are we prepared? You know, do we understand those temptations? Are we prepared for that plan that God has for us, and that plan that Christ died on the cross for us, that we understand that we, as we face those temptations, those challenges that are in front of us, how do we react? So I want to go back, and I just want to read one verse again. I'm going to go back into second book of Nephi, the first chapter. And I'm just going to read one verse there. You don't have to go to it if you don't want. But it ties in with what we were just reading here in Genesis, and it's the 108th verse in second book of Nephi, the first chapter. Wherefore their state became a state of probation, and their time was lengthened according to the commandments which the Lord God gave unto the children of men. And so that time of probation is where we are at today. We are in that time of probation. We are in that time of learning, and then in that time of still being new in Christ, still being new in how we react and preparing us for that life eternal. And that plan ultimately is that, you know, we think of the direction in our lives, and we think of the things that we do or the things that we don't do. But ultimately that plan is pretty simple. And that plan is that plan of redemption, that plan of life eternal. And that time that we have here is prolonged according to the will of God.
Did we lose you?
Are you there? Benny, can you hear me now? Benny, can you hear me?
Is everybody out there?
I can hear you. I can hear you, Jeff.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay.
Is anybody out there?
Okay. Sorry about that. Hey, Benny,
good.
Okay. So, continuing on, and turn with me to James, the first chapter.
It may be as it dropped. I have no idea. I don't think so.
Okay. Jill Paul, did you say you could hear me?
It sounds like we dropped.
We can hear you, Jeff. This is Cindy.
All right, good deal. All right, maybe Benny's having some technical difficulties there.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Okay, so I'm going to keep going, and I'm going to go to James, and I'm at the first chapter of James, and I'm going to start at the second verse. And so continuing on with that thought and continuing on with that plan, that simple plan, and I truly believe it's simple. Although life is complex, although life is probably, we probably make it more complex than it has to be. But that plan of God, the plan that he has for us is very simple, and it is that life eternal. And so James, the first chapter, I'm going to read just the second through the sixth verse there. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and unbridleth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. You know, I think about that scripture, and this week I was in a meeting with a gentleman that I've known for quite a while that I've worked with, and he's actually based in our office in Singapore right now, and he has responsibility for several of the countries for my company for over in that part of the world, and one of the countries that he has responsibility for is Japan. And he was telling me a little bit about some of the damage, and he's had several trips to Japan since the big tsunami. And he told me, he said one day that he was out and he was kind of fairly close to one of the cities that had been damaged severely by the tsunami. And you know, we look at water, and water seems calm. And you look at water, and it seems, you know, kind of that, I think of going out on a boat and just kind of setting and relaxing and just kind of that calm, relaxing feeling. And you know, like in this verse here, you know, that James tells us here is, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. You know, you think about the damage and destruction that can be done. And so, you know, I often remember of a story, and I know I've shared it here before, and I won't tell the whole story, but I'm reminded of a story that one of our ministers in the Philippines, that he shared with me, and he told me of the story of this monkey that laid in the trees, and in the middle of the day, and the nice breeze came along, and he laid, and he was lulled to sleep by the calming. And when a storm came, he wasn't hanging on tight to the tree, and the monkey fell out of the tree. Right, and that destruction that can come when we are lulled to sleep, that destruction that can come when we are wavering and when we are not founded deep and sound and having that solid foundation, you know, and we see that here, and we understand that we have a plan and we have an opportunity to get back on that track and get back with that plan, and that there is no doubt that life throws challenges in front of us. I often think about when we have that time to spend with kids at the camp and some of the lessons I think probably they carry away, but probably some of the lessons I carry away is truly that understanding of those temptations that as youth they face, peer pressure and some of the challenges. But I would also say that we all face those same challenges in our lives. We all face those same temptations or maybe not the same, but similar type of temptations in our lives. And if we're lulled to sleep, that we can be driven with the wind, and we can be tossed to and fro, and we can be thrown. And clearly that plan, again, if I can reinforce it again and again, is that plan is simple. That plan of redemption and that direction that Christ has for us. Turn with me to John, the 15th chapter. John, the 15th chapter, I'm going to start at the 9th verse there. So John 15, and I'm going to start at the 9th verse. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And that example that we have has been set for us in that love, in that loving each other. I use a phrase sometimes at work, and I see it in people all too often, that people want to get even. People are frustrated with someone else, and I say it a little joking sometimes, but it may sound or may come across wrong, and I mean it in no ill way, but sometimes I'm challenging my team to look at things and say, all right, so let's go back and let's kill them with kindness, you know. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth is not the way that we're going to go and set things right and to calm the situation down. But if I take the attitude and approach that I want them to understand, and I want them to see that I'm not going to go toe to toe, that I'm going to manage things, or I'm going to deal things in a challenge that we have in a way of loving kindness, and that's tough. And in the heat of the battle and the heat of the situation, sometimes we can get our back up against the wall and we can get frustrated. But that loving kindness and that example and treating one another with love. And truly not something that we see every day, and truly not something that has us or that calls to us and But that unlove, that lack of love, is truly that temptation, truly that pulling us away. Turn with me to Matthew, the 25th chapter. And I'm in Matthew, the 25th chapter, and I'm going to start at the 14th verse. Okay, Matthew 25, I'm going to start at the 14th verse. In the 14th verse there it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other two. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and wept and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast not thine is that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I think about this, and there's so many directions and so many ideas that come from reading this, but how it applies to that plan. I think of things in very simple terms. And I think of that plan as a very simple plan. It is a calling. It is a challenge to us of how we come closer unto the Lord, how we not fall into that temptation. And then, as those talents are given to us, of those talents that we have, then what do we do with them? Do we hide it in the ground and hope that no one sees it? Or do we go out and do we exercise that faith and do we exercise those talents that the Lord had given us? And clearly that challenge for us is are we utilizing those talents? Are we utilizing those talents in helping to draw us closer unto the Lord? Turn with me to Alma, the 19th chapter, and this is on page 448 in my Book of Mormon. But Alma, the 19th chapter. I'm going to start reading at the 42nd verse. Again, Alma 19, starting at the 42nd verse. Now concerning the state of the soul between death and resurrection, behold, it hath been made known unto me by an angel that the spirits of all men, as soon as they are departed from this mortal body, yea, the spirits of all men, whether they be good or evil, are taken home to that God who gave them life. And then shall it come to pass that the spirits of those which are righteous are received into a state of happiness, which is called paradise, a state of rest, a state of peace, where they shall rest from all their troubles and from all care and sorrow. And then shall it come to pass that spirits of the wicked, yea, which are evil. For behold, they have no part nor portion in the Spirit of the Lord. For behold, they chose evil works rather than good. Therefore, the spirit of the devil did enter into them and take possession of their house. And these shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And this because of their own iniquity, being led captive by the will of the devil. Now this is the state of souls of the wicked, yea, in darkness, in a state of awful, fearful, looking for a fiery indignation of the wrath of God upon them. Thus they remain in this state as well as the righteous in paradise until the time of their resurrection. And I read the scripture, and I know that as we look and as you kind of round up that thought of that plan of redemption, I want to draw your attention to the 46th verse. To me, this verse is highlighted and for a couple reasons. And I'm going to read it again. And these shall be cast into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And this is the important part here and where I'm going to start reading right here. And this because of their own iniquity. Right? It's not because of the iniquity of others around us. It's not because of the iniquity of what others have done to us. Right, it's clearly our own iniquity or our own decision that we have. It cannot be dependent upon those around us, but it is truly dependent upon us. And in this example, and truly these words here, and Alma speaking here, but I have no doubt these are truly the words of God, in that, you know, there is no excuse. And this because of their own iniquity, being led captive by the will of the devil. And so we understand for every action there's a reaction, right? For goodness and grace by God, we know that there is the opposite reaction by the devil. And we know that temptation and challenge is out there for us. And we have to decide how are we going to react? How are we going to act in those situations? I want to close and turn with me to Mosiah, the first chapter. In Mosiah, the first chapter, and I'm going to start reading at the 86th verse. Mosiah 1, I'm going to start again, like I said, at the 86th verse, which is on page 215. O all ye old men, and also ye young men, and ye little children, which can understand my words, for I have spoken plain unto you, that ye might understand. And I truly believe this, and I truly believe that in the few scriptures that I've brought you this morning, I think these are simple scriptures in my mind. They're simple to understand, and simple to truly understand that plan. O all ye old men, and also young men, and ye little children, which can understand my words, for I have spoken plain unto you, that ye might understand. I pray that ye should all awake to a remembrance of the awful situation of those that have fallen into transgression. And moreover, I would desire that ye should consider on the blessed and happy state of those that keep the commandments of God. For behold, they are blessed in all things, both temporal and spiritual. And if they hold out faithful to the end, they are received into heaven, and thereby they may dwell with God in a state of never-ending happiness. Oh, remember that these things are true, for the Lord God has spoken it. Right? And we understand that. And in that 90th verse, we have that opportunity. Christ has called out to each of us. I truly believe that for each of you that are here on this phone today, you made a decision, right? You decided that you were going to pick up the phone and dial, right? We've decided that we're going to commit that time and commit this life of ours to God. We have that choice, and we have that opportunity to struggle. We have that opportunity to see pain and see sorrow, but we know that as a part of that plan of redemption, that we can call back. that we can grab a hold of that rod of iron and that we have that opportunity to draw on that strength of the Lord. And my hope for each of us is that we do that. And my hope for each of us is that we understand that although the plan is simple, doesn't mean our life is going to be. But it's how we react from it and our decisions that we make from those temptations that we face. My hope is for each of us. I'd ask continued interest in your prayers, and my hopes and thoughts and prayers are with each of you. Thank you. I'm guessing that if Benny's having trouble, I'll go ahead and close our service here this morning.
Yeah. This is Jerry. Have we turned off the recording, or?
I don't know if we have, and I don't know if we can if Benny started it.
Can you all hear me?
Yeah, there you are.
Okay. I think that when my phone died, it killed the recording because I just went in to turn it off, and it said enter my subscriber PIN. So we may not have the sermon. I apologize.
Oh, no problem. Okay.
But
I have a request if it's all right with everybody. We got a text from my sister-in-law, Mary. Her little boy, he's 5.
Zach, he's 6.
He's 6.
Before we arrived there in July, let's see, it was around the 17th or something, he choked on a sucker, a dum-dum, you know, the little thing, he choked on it. And a couple of days later, he choked on some popcorn. And since then, I mean, first they thought it was still stuck in his throat, because he won't eat, or all he'll do is drink, like Boost or milk or stuff like that. He won't eat, and he feels like he can't breathe. And he is still having that now, and my sister just sent me a message to please ask our church to pray for him, because he's just it's starting to get really serious now. So his name is Zach.
You bet. Why don't we, if we can, let's kneel in a season of prayer, and let's offer prayers up for Zach right now. Kind of gracious Heavenly Father, dear Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you, dear Lord, for this opportunity we have to spend with thee. Dear Lord, we hold up before you at this time this young brother, Zach. We pray, dear Lord, that you would look down upon him even at this time. Dear Lord, we pray that you would look down in his throat and look in his body and see that which is amiss. We pray, dear Lord, that you can, knowing, dear Lord, that you can work mighty miracles, and knowing, dear Lord, that you love the children, and knowing, dear Lord, that you love each of us. And we pray, dear Lord, that together with our unified faith here, even now, we pray that thy comforting spirit might be there. We pray for thy comforting spirit with Zach's mom and family. And we pray, dear Lord, for thy comforting spirit for Zach, that he would know that thou art with him even now. So we hold him up and we pray these things and we ask it, dear Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear God, I thank you so much for this avenue to come to you, and I just ask that you would please be with Zach, that if there's a physical cause for this, that I know that you have all power and that you can heal that and take away whatever this feeling is that he has in his throat and chest. And I also ask that you would just comfort him and help him to relax and cast out all fear. Give him a sound mind and help him through this time that will just pass, and he'll be able to eat this normal again and get his nourishment good. Please help Mary, help her to feel you with him, and John, guide them in how they are, you know, to care for him. Just place him in your hands, Lord. Please watch over him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I want to also lift my voice in agreement to you that you would hear our prayers and that you would bless Zach mightily, that you would heal him. And if there's nothing wrong and it's only his perception, that you would heal his perception, that he'd be able to eat. I ask that you'd heal him in such a way that it would be a powerful spiritual blessing for his family, that it would be a guide, help them decide and see you more clearly, understand your love and your healing power, your godhood. And so I would give you all the glory as we ask these blessings and these miracles and these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear God, I want to join my voice with those of my brothers and sisters in unity and prayer, asking for a blessing for Zach. And we know that you know what the cause of the problem is, whether it be physical or not, but ask that you'd look within him, Lord, and whatever it is, whether there be a physical problem there, that you would heal it, or if there only be perception in his mind, that you would heal that as well, Lord, that you would help him to have confidence that he could eat. Take away his fear. Help him to know that you are at his side. And as you've heard it asked, that this also might be a great blessing to his family, that would help them to see you moving in their lives, Lord, that you would make it so that they would have that testimony that you are there and that you take an active part in their lives and that you care. Please forgive us of any sins that might stand between we and thee and the blessing for which we ask, that you could pour out your spirit upon this little boy and give him the blessing that he stands in need of. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blessings of today. Thank you for the many blessings you give to us each day. Bless Zach now. You see him, Lord. You see what's going on with him. Hold this little one in your hands. Don't be afraid of that which is amiss. Give him strength. Give him confidence and courage that he would return his life as a happy little boy. Just help him to just have the heart, Lord, that he could eat, it'd be all right.
Our Heavenly Father, I want to praise you and thank you for this gift you've given us, that we can come to you with our physical pain, with our emotional pain, our worries, and that we'll know that you will hear us and bless us. So we're Zach. Give him peace, heal him emotionally and physically so that he'll be able to eat, bless his parents, give them the comfort of peace and not worry, and to have this gift, the knowledge of this gift from you, that it will strengthen them spiritually and bring them closer to you. Bless all of those in need of prayers for physical problems, for emotional problems, for safety problems, and all things that strife in our life that keep us from you, that take away these iniquities and these trials and these weaknesses that we have that keep us from being close to you. Thank you for this opportunity to get together over the phone to strengthen us and help us be closer to you. These things I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to thank Jeff again for the message, and sorry that something went wrong with our phone, and apparently we don't have the recording, or we may have just a piece of the recording. We'll see what happens there. I'm glad that Jeff came to us with the things he did today. And just going back over the parable of the talents again, sometimes we think, well, a talent is like, you know, I can sing, I can dance, I can play a musical instrument. And sometimes the talent that we have is the ability to persevere. Sometimes the talent we have is some understanding. Sometimes it's just a willingness to open up. And those are things that we need to share. That was the reward that came to these people in the parable, were that they took it out and put it to use. They put it to work. They didn't hide it. They didn't say, oh, I know about Jesus, but I'm not going to tell anybody. It'll be my little secret. Well, that's not why he gives us that knowledge. That's not why he gives us those blessings. He gives us those things to share. So let's think about that as we go into the service that is the rest of the week. And Jerry, can I ask you to offer us a closing prayer?
I wanted to share something real quick, if I could, about this week. I was going through our emails and our old emails, and I found a testimony from Janice Welch, and her kids had asked when they were little what happened to people when they died, and she read that scripture. Alma in 1942 was given to her to read to them, and she read it, and she said they accepted it like, oh, okay, you know, like it was just plain. And I remember at the time I was looking at this thinking, wow, I didn't remember something so clear, you know, written that way. So I told myself I was going to look that up myself and read it, you know, this week. And this morning I remembered, and I turned in my book and found it and marked it with my bookmark. And then I just thought it was really amazing. Then Jeff goes to open right to that, and I was like, wow. So I just thought that was quite a blessing to me. It was neat.
Also, before I pray, I just wanted to tell you that there's been a major change with Amy.
Yeah.
Suddenly, she can walk, and it appears normal. Her wrist has started to move, and she really feels like God has just, like, overnight really blessed her, and that she's healing now. So thanks for all the prayers. Please continue. Please bow your heads with me. Our Heavenly Father, we are before you in gratitude. We are before you in awe, knowing that you are God and that we are man, and that we need you desperately. Help us while we are here, these days of probation. Help us while we have decisions to make, that we would cling to you, that we would hunger and thirst for you and your righteousness, and that it would guide us. I pray that you would bless all those who are sick and afflicted, and truly I would bring Zach's name to you again and his whole family. please bless them. I ask that you'd help us as we go into this week, that we would be guided by your word, that we would be inspired by your spirit and guided, and we would give you all the glory in the name of thy son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Love you all. Have a great week.
Love you.
Love you all.
Love you too. Bye. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Yeah, isn't it cool?